Welcome to Sensibly Cynical. My name is Sean, and with me yet again is Frank Jack. What's up, Frank?
What's up, Sean?
All right, Frank, today we have a special guest, one of my buddies from when I lived in Richmond, Peter.
So what are we talking about? We're talking about IT today?
Yeah, he's an IT guy, so he likes to talk about tech, and then we'll talk about how...
Boolean algebra, and writing code, and SQL, and all that stuff.
And all that shit.
I love writing code, because, you know, anytime I can't sleep, I write code and I fall right asleep.
Okay, well, let's get him on the line. You ready for that, Frank?
Sure.
Okay. And with us on the line is one of my good friends, Peter. What's up, Peter?
What's happening, guys?
Hey, thanks for being on the show tonight. So what exactly do you do for a living, Peter?
So I work in IT, and basically I work for the government, and we do all types of things
Yeah, so can you give us like a good story you have, or any details that you think would be interesting? What do you like about it so much?
Yeah, so the thing I really love about IT is it's pretty open in terms of how to get things done, you know. No one can necessarily tell you how to do something or the best way to do it. There's so many ways to do everything on a day to day. I learn new things, and you know, it's just a good way to do something, and however you can get something done pertaining to technology is a method we use. So like, I just love it, because there's always new things to learn, it's always changing, and you know, it's just something I love to do.
So like I was telling Sean before, you know, I was telling him, you know, when it comes to writing code, like when I have to mess with SQL, or if I have to play around with any type of code, if I have to change the format of something, play with the code and change it back. I gotta say, it always helps me sleep better at night, because I find it very boring. How do you make it exciting? You said there's a lot of different ways to do it. What makes it exciting? The fact that you can pretty much make your own code to lock other people out? Is that what makes it exciting?
Yeah. Me personally, I am not a coder personally.
Okay.
But what you have is, the idea is exactly what you said. I mean, there are always ways you can solve issues, or, you know, handle things for your company. And, you know, one of the things that I do like about, I don't code for my job, but what I do know about coding is that, you know, if you can figure out how to get something done with a particular code, or with certain objects and some of that, if you can figure out how to solve problems and get what your need you to get done.
Right.
That's all you do. You know, it's not like, all right, we need you to write the code to say that. As long as you take care of it, and that's what makes it exciting. You can find, you know, new ways to create things, new ways to get stuff done. And that's why I love technology, whether it be coding. I handle more of some of the hard stuff, some of the network stuff.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, Peter. I know you enjoy the creative process. Can you go into a detail on maybe a particular project that sticks out in your mind? What have you, like, any sort of detail you go on a certain project that you've done, or?
Yeah, so one of the things we're working on now is we're getting a bunch of the computers updated for Windows 10, which is kind of complicated. It's one thing to do it on a machine. Like, if I have a computer, I own a personal computer, it's one thing to get everything updated there, and I can kind of do everything however I please. But it's a different story when you're working for a company. You have different, what we call policies on the machine. So every machine has, when you work in a company, every machine has a group policy, is what we call it. And what it does is it prevents you from making certain changes or doing certain things. And what we do within those group policies, we're going to go ahead and update Windows 7 to Windows 10. And we have, I don't know, let's say 4,000 machines to do that, and we do it side by side, so.
Oh, that's cool, man.
So, actually, I have Windows 10, and I had that problem of getting things upgraded, because, you know, a lot of things weren't compatible, and I know you said it was easy on a personal computer, but is that the problems you were running through with the company, is a lot of programs aren't compatible, so you have to do a lot, upload a lot more bridges to kind of force them to be?
You know what, usually it's not as much compatibility. Right at the moment, what the biggest thing is just the way to go about updating. We need to do it really efficient, because what happens is it can take a few hours, and when you have, you know, a few thousand machines, you need to figure out the best way to do it. And that much compatible. You know, we do compatibility tests, and we do a lot of testing to make sure once we go ahead and move forward with any kind of upgrade, things are, you know, the software work, any of the programs. So we're pretty much set there. It's just what's the fastest way to do it, you know, the best way to get it done without preventing, you know, without putting anyone out of, preventing anyone from being able to get their job done for more than a few hours.
So basically, you want to do it with a minimal amount of shortfall risk when putting that stuff together.
Exactly. That's the other thing. As an IT person, one of your goals, besides for obviously solving the issue, is minimizing downtime.
So working for the, doing what you do, you probably have to work with a lot of encrypted stuff. And people are always trying to take shortcuts in this world.
Yeah, it's all about convenience.
So in this world, the black web is big. And a big thing that people are trading constantly, because they think it's the future, is encrypted currency to trade on things such as the black market. Can you talk something about encryption as far as currencies and stuff and the kind of things that helps with as far as making sure you're not getting ripped off?
Yeah, I can think a little bit on cryptocurrency. And what I know about cryptocurrency is one of the good things about it is that there's really no central manager of it. So one of the ways that it's secure and, you know, you can't, I guess, get ripped off, if you will, is that there's a way for you to keep track of. It's not like, you know, you have your money in a bank, and the bank, if they are not there, but you don't have access to your money because their servers or their bank software says, hey, you have $0 in your account. The way cryptocurrency works is it's kind of a communication or partnership between whatever server you have your Bitcoin or whatever the cryptocurrency on. And what happens is, you know, your machine or your server says X amount of dollars, and it just validates with every other machine or server or individual you interact with. So, you know, it's kind of like a handshake. You know, you check in, you say, hey, I have $10.
Right.
Server, mm-hmm. Or machine says, oh, he has $10. You know, so if they try to, you know, pull something, you know, you still have your code. You still have your, like, I'm not familiar with it, but one of the things I know about it is that it handles things in a way to where I can't necessarily, you know, say I have this amount of money. There's a way to validate I actually have that amount of money. Yet, you don't have to physically be there. You don't have to actually, like with cash, you have the cash here and show someone and get some cash. You know? But it's somewhat complicated.
Pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with long codes and harder to hack in, but I mean, yeah. Like you said, it's not very regulated. It's just really on your machine, and you said it's on your server. Now, speaking about servers, as an IT guy, the IT nightmare is when a server goes down.
Yeah, of course.
Can you kind of talk about what your steps would be when you lose a server?
Sure. One of the big things now is cloud computing, and we joke about cloud computing, that really there's no cloud, it's just another person's computer. Yeah. And
it's pretty much accurate.
No, you're pretty much right. It's pretty funny, though, the way you put it like that.
Yeah, you know, we look at it in terms of out of sight, out of mind. It's being handled on Google or iCloud or whatever, but that's just another huge supercomputer that Google or iCloud has set up in one of their server farms.
Right.
But the way we handle anything with outages or, you know, servers going down is we have that backup, whether it be a backup on site or something in the cloud. Usually we have two or three copies. So anytime a server goes down, what happens is we bring it back up with one of our backups. And again, usually the issue is rarely lost data. Usually it's, again, minimizing the downtime from when it's down to when we can bring it up via backup.
Hey, Peter, I just had a question. What did you think about the whole Facebook thing? You know, did you check out all the things going on with Zuckerberg and how he was describing what was going on with Facebook, the data breach?
Yeah, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, one of the biggest things where I sided kind of with Facebook, and not necessarily sided with them, but where I just didn't feel that they did anything. Let me say that one of the things that I was just not as frustrated or angry, if you will, with Facebook was that I feel like they're, with good reason, because it's such a large corporation.
Right.
And people use Facebook. But they were being singled out as if, one of the things I heard was their user agreement and their user,
sure,
that it wasn't clear. And one of the things that frustrates me is that all companies do that. You know, they think they're fine print, or they have these 50-page user agreements. And if you're not a lawyer, or if you're not, even if you're a lawyer, if you weren't involved in writing it and the verbiage, you really don't understand everything it's saying and it entails. So they may seem as if Facebook did this, is doing this thing that nobody, no company do with their user agreement, and it's not clear. And again, everything does that from, you know, you go into a store and they have a return,
right,
policy, or like just like that, everyone has that.
No, you're right. And I feel like Facebook kind of had to explain itself and said, hey, listen, you know, when you had to sign off on stuff when you download the separate Facebook Messenger app. I know people that specifically didn't get Facebook Messenger because they actually read the shit. They actually said, oh, they actually hacked, basically they get control of my messages, and they didn't do with Messenger, you know? So I feel like Zuckerberg had some legit reasonings.
Right, and I mean, and you know, the same goes for, you know, the other side of the argument, I guess. So they're such a big company, you know, some people are on Facebook like literally all day. You have it on your phone, it's in your pocket.
Not me. I hope you're not including me, Peter. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I get your point. I get your point.
You know, and it's just, I think it's like, I mean, it's like anything else. You know, I overheard some coworkers talking about the whole thing. And again, it's weird because they were speaking about Facebook and all the things that happen when you download the app and you hit
right.
Messenger. And the first thing came to my mind was that, well, pretty much every app you have on your phone does that. I know Facebook is the one, you know, we're talking about just because that's the more popular one. That's the one that has so many people and millions and billions of users. But the idea of Facebook is doing something that is not, like, the norm for,
right,
for apps and companies, to me, is just crazy. So they, and I get it, they're the biggest company, the most, you know,
right, and it's a credit to them because they basically they're basically now part of everyday society. Like, you're right. Like, it's wake up, check Facebook, get coffee. Like, it's literally part of the fabric of the world. And, you know, I'd be like, it's not our fault that you rely on us all the time, every day, all day.
But also, not even Facebook alone. Peter, what do you think about, you know, with all the hackers, I mean, with different countries hacking Silicon Valley and hacking different companies hacking each other. Is there such a thing as data integrity anyway? I mean, pretty much, is anything safe? Because, I mean, as far as in the age of hackers, pretty much everything's out there all the time, right?
Right, but what I'll say is, like anything else, good for better and worse, humans, people are the most valuable thing, but also the things that have the most liability and cause the most errors, you know? Like, for example, how many flights go in and take off and land each day?
That's a good point.
And usually what happens is, you know, a lot of the errors we see, whether it be in tech and hacking and the mistakes, usually these are human errors. While it's hard to kind of say, well, what is the solution for, you know, compromising, and like you say, your question is, is there any kind of thing that is actually 100% safe? The answer is no, but
like, because... Peter, so how aware are like people of, because I saw recently, I forgot what if it was a news site or if I saw it online, but I saw a list of our most common passwords, and you know, you're right, password I think was on the list. Now is there, I guess anyone can find it, but is there what I'm trying to say is there like a list of like a huge list of just passwords that everyone uses every day? I mean, how hard is password encryption? You know, are passwords just semantics nowadays? Like,
well, yeah. So there's a tool one of the professions, the IT workers, one of the jobs that you can get is what you call a penetration tester or white hat hacker, with some people refer to.
Right.
They have tools that can evaluate the strength of a password. So these same tools, you know, used by hackers who aren't, again, white hat hackers who are, you know, malicious hackers, and these same tools are used, and yeah, that's exactly what they are. They're lists that are just compromised of, you know, millions of compromised or hacked accounts, and, you know, you have, it's just data saying, hey, the majority of the accounts have passwords similar to this, than that. You know, it's just a percentage, it's a numbers game, and, you know, you have these tools that basically will search through the dictionaries, as they call it, and yeah, I mean, you can find some out there. There are a couple, I can, you know, if you have any questions, there's some I can point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, if you just find Google, like, it'll give you a bunch of, it'll give you statistics on what passwords are most common. There's a software called Kali Linux, which is basically, that's what it's for. It's for penetration testers. Obviously, some hackers use it because,
right,
you know. But yeah, what it does is, you know, it'll pull these dictionaries, these password dictionaries from whatever resource that the software is tied to. It pulls these password dictionaries and it basically runs kind of a probability test. All right, try this faster, and it does that until it says, oh, here's a match. You know, one of the things personally, you test out a Wi-Fi network, all the Wi-Fi network passwords.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, man.
So it's kind of like the current day way of breaking a safe. You know, people, they keep clicking and clicking and clicking until they get the right combination, they break it.
Yeah.
It's kind of current day way of breaking a safe. And people do put a lot of work into doing this, even though they have the software now. I mean, remember back in the day when I was a graveyard waiter, we had a guy that used to come on every 4 o'clock every morning with his computer to get the Wi-Fi and just hack people's computers because he had no life.
Yeah, so Peter, so how did we meet, Peter? You want to talk about how we met?
Oh, yeah. So, we're just out one night, and...
Listen to this.
John bumped into me and asked me if I had some money or something.
No, I remember it that way.
I believe it. I believe it.
I don't remember it that way.
He does that. He still does that.
No, we...
We actually met through Meetup. That's what we met through. There was kind of like a new in town meetup, and you know, this was in Richmond, Virginia, and it was a meetup, and I can't remember. I think it was, man, were we at?
I forgot.
Halligan's?
Yeah, I think it was Halligan's. Yeah, that was like my first or second hosting. Halligan's, Frank, was like a. It was a bar kind of restaurant, and there's two, and I think there's still, it's only one now, right? One of them shut down, but there was two at the time. So it was a local thing, and their whole gimmick was it's like a firehouse. So one of them had like a fire truck parked in, and then they built it around the fire truck. Like, they literally just parked the fire truck and built the bar around the truck. And that was the whole gimmick. It was kind of weird. It was like different kind of music. It was like they'd have country one night, but then they'd also have like rap. Like, they just wouldn't give a shit when it came to the, I don't know who was running the DJs. But anyways, I had the meet up one night, and he was there, and I forgot who else was there that night. And then we just started talking or whatever. And then one thing led to another, and we're out partying at like 2 o'clock at random bars, you know?
Yeah, but just to be clear, women were involved. It wasn't just like us, just so everybody.
No, 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 I'm not saying that.
Hey, man, it's the 21st century, man. Whatever y'all do, it's up to you. It's acceptable.
No,
it's acceptable just, anywhere nowadays.
Okay, I just meant we had a we ended up getting like a crew together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not that long. I think it was probably three. Probably three or four. You're right, though. Maybe it was 4 years ago already.
I think it was closer to four.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we've been studying.
We've been keeping it.
Sean kind of had a fan site from Richmond, you know. Everybody can't make it in Richmond, so, you know, it's kind of like New York City. You can't make it, you know.
I don't keep track of that many people there. I mean, really, it's just you and like and a couple others that I really talk to on a legit basis. But Frank, did you have any other questions for him?
Yeah, going back to technology, you ever seen Black Mirror?
Yeah, love that show.
I hate that show. It's depressing. But anyway, do you think technology will ever get to that point where it pretty much consumes people's lives?
Yeah, I think. I mean, we're getting there already. The beauty of the good thing though that with all the technology and how encompassing it is, there's just as many tools to kind of manage it and control it and kind of, you know, prevent some of that stuff. So I mean, one of the things I love about, you know, being in IT is that for me it'll be really hard for, you know, for somebody or for something to kind of fool me or get the best of me and what's going on. You know, it's nice to feel comfortable with that, you know, I'm not getting hacked or, you know, that I can, and if I do get hacked, I understand what's going on and how to resolve things. But yeah, I mean, that's absolutely something that's happening. I mean, we're convinced there's tools that actually combat a lot of that, and there's ways to manage it, just as many ways to manage all of the different things that are there, you know, whether it's social media.
Right, I haven't... For those that haven't seen, so what's this about? I haven't seen this. So explain what this is about.
There's a lot. Well, Peter, you explain it.
So Black Mirror is kind of what you would call an anthology series, and it just covers like, let's say, near future, like new technology and how, and it just shows how it shows in a certain context what this new technology does. Whether it's like one of the episodes of a new technology that helps you monitor and keep track of your children, not only like physically, but also like physiologically, like what's going on with their body. And,
oh, okay.
You know, and it was allowing basically censorship, live, real life censorship on your children, you know, and implants, and you know, so.
Oh, wow.
Like that with technology. There was one about social media, but it actually had like a real life component to it. It wasn't just on Facebook, you rate someone. You're like in real life walking down the street giving people ratings and likes and dislikes, and it actually affected their life, like
right.
Like a threat or what.
Right, you know? They couldn't, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Your likability turned into pretty much your credit score.
Oh, wow. That puts a whole new spin on things. I'm being popular.
Yeah, there were other episodes with other types of technology and in other contexts of how it affects life. But again, the main idea of it was, hey, technology gets so advanced. Series, or I mean, this episode, it shows how, you know, what if a game was so real and, you know, you were in the game and when did you wake up or when you're in the game and just stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool too.
Okay, so is there anything else you wanted to talk about, Peter?
Yeah, the one thing I do want to talk about.
Okay.
Is just, and this is just something that that you know, the more and more, the longer and longer I'm in technology in the IT world, I love so much. I just want to talk about self learning and, you know, YouTube, all the resources that we have. That, you know, whether it's learning about, you know, cryptocurrency, whether it's learning about how to keep my data, my, you know, information secure. I just want to that, A, it's a great field career-wise, but also it's just cool and fun, you know?
Right, it's like the creativity is endless. Right? I say you can always, there's always room for being creative, and it's very rewarding, right?
Very rewarding, absolutely. Like, you know, the things you can figure out on your own, like,
sure.
If you're working, you're trying to solve an issue, you might figure something out just in your time and be able to apply it to your job. Like, it's just, there's so much room for improvement, so much room for new ideas, creativity, whatever it may be. Technology is just, it's everywhere, and, you know, I think it's an asset more than an obstacle, and, you
right.
know, it depends how you look at it, but I urge people to, you know, embrace it, and, you know, I think it'll do a lot for us as a society.
Peter, are you watching the NBA playoffs going on?
Absolutely.
Last episode we did our picks, and I'm already off to a bad start. I have the Blazers going pretty far. I'm already off to a bad start. I didn't think that they would. I know they're playing as of this recording is. I know they're playing now. But who do you got? Who's your picks to win it all, etc.
Picks to win it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really going out on a limb, right?
Yeah, I know, right?
I think the Heat, I think the West is going to be tough enough. The Heat are going to, not the Heat, I'm sorry, the Cavs. Jesus. The Cavs, I think it's going to be the Cavs. I think the Warriors are going to stumble through and struggle just going through the West, the Rockets and James Harden and all those teams, those tough teams in the West. But
right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Cavs this year.
Okay, so you got the Cavs over the Warriors in how many games?
It's going to be 7 games.
So you think LeBron will pretty much...
if they get by...
A very underperforming cast can really get past Golden State?
I think so. I think by the time they get to that point, they're going to be, you know, somewhat battle-tested. A lot's going to transpire between now and the finals, and I think... That team's gonna be ready because I think they're talented. I think it's just they haven't been on that stage. They haven't played in the playoffs. A lot of those guys, and it's just gonna take a little bad system by fire. But I think by the time they'll have playing in the East, they'll have time to get it together and figure things out. And by the time you know the finals roll around, they'll be good to go.
Okay, you want to get to your? We do this thing. I know you're probably aware, but you want to get to. Since you're the guest, you have any sensible or cynical thoughts for the episode?
Oh yeah, my sensible thought just again revolves around technology. I mean, technology's everywhere. You know, you can't avoid it, so you might as well learn from it, embrace it. You know, anywhere you go, every company you work at, there's an IT department, or they hire people to come in and handle the computers everywhere. Everything is controlled by this, so I mean. Short of, you know, you're living off the grid, you know, in the middle of nowhere, there's really no way around it. And, you know, we're on social media. A lot of people use Amazon Prime. You know, there's just so much technology around. It's in our cars now.
Yeah, self-driving cars. Hey, but before we get to our thoughts, do you know anything about that on the timeline on when they're going to have self-driving cars? Do you know anything about that at all, or probably not, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they already have them. I mean, I've seen a self-driving Google car in Richmond.
Oh, really?
A couple months ago. Yeah. So, I mean, they're around. It's just, again, one of the things that companies like Google, Apple, they do well is testing. They're going to test these things out millions and billions of
times. Because the minute something goes wrong, there's a big lawsuit on their table. So, you're right.
But again, one of the things I love about technology is that a lot of times the issues arise from human interaction.
Right. So
human error.
So if you had to predict, how long before we get a consumer like a self-driving car like on the market for just an average consumer, how long do you think?
5 to 10 years.
Greg, what do you think? What do you think about that? You agree with him?
It might be about closer to 10. I mean, I know a few companies. I think pulled their self-driving cars back the testing because they had so many issues with it. So I think they're going to take a few steps back with it. But I think it'll be about 10 years.
Yeah. Oh, Frank, do you have any sensible or cynical thoughts for the episode?
Sure, I got a sensible thought, and my sensible thought is, you know, technology. You know, you got to respect it. It's a very dangerous and powerful thing. It can be a major asset. It can be a major liability. You have to embrace it, though. As a world, we always constantly go through change. Mm-hmm. And there's always a way to profit from change. There's always a way to find the intertwines of change and how to move forward with change. And so I think, sensibly, I think this is obviously the way the world will go. I mean, technology is going to just get more and more and more intense. And I think, my sensible thought is that to... I think as people becomes more and more a part of life, I think it's sensible that people will learn to embrace it more and more, and it'll advance us more and more as a community.
I'm gonna go cynical. I think that based on I piggyback on what we were just talking about earlier, I'm gonna go cynical on the people that were in such a rush to bash Facebook. I know it was glamorized and was on CNN a lot, and they showed it all day. And I'm cynical about people that it's not all on Facebook, like we mentioned. You know, they basically give you this asset that people before, generations before us didn't have. You can literally talk to somebody across the world in like 1 second, but yet as soon as something that goes wrong or they get your data, but then they tell you that you have your data. People are so quick to bash on something that what if Facebook actually disappeared? Then they'd be like, oh, well, I know something else would come up, but I feel like people should give Facebook the benefit of the doubt on what they're trying to do. I know they're going through some changes and everything, you know? So I feel like people need to be more open-minded to let Facebook make those changes rather than just being so quick to criticize them. That's my cynical thought for the show. So,
yeah,
Peter, thanks for being on the Sensibly Cynical. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Pleasure's all mine.
Take care, bro.
Take care, man.
All right, later, y'all.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sensibly Cynical. If you could subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, it would be highly appreciated. Take care.